Thank you very much. And we'll now go to Ms. Bonney. Julie Bonney, the first question will go to Colonel Stock.
Ms. Stock, the question. The Alaska seafood industry is the second largest contributor to the state's economy, and our industry depends on strong management programs to provide that economic benefit. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game budget has been reduced by more than 30%, and we are told they are preparing for an additional 10 to 14% reduction for fiscal year 2014. These cuts have resulted in lost research management programs, resulting in fewer jobs, less income for fishery participants in the state of Alaska. As U.S. senators, we understand that you do not affect the state budget, but you do affect the federal budget, which includes essential funding for fishery programs and management. Would you work to preserve fishery-related federal budgets? If so, which budgets and how?
Great question, and absolutely. As your United States Senator, I will think it's my prime mission to try to improve the budgets, especially in the face of the cuts in state budgets. I'm a big believer in research. I think funding research is critical, particularly in the face of climate change that's occurring in Alaska right now. We need to understand the ecosystem and the impacts climate change are having, and that requires research. I'd like to see more of the research done in Alaska. The current Alaska congressional delegation has funded a lot of research jobs in Washington State, where they're studying Alaska from Washington State, and I think it would be better to have those jobs here in Alaska. I support more funding for the Coast Guard. I think the Coast Guard is a critical armed force up here in Alaska, probably the one that has the closest relationship to most ordinary, everyday Alaskans, and the Coast Guard is underfunded at the moment to perform the vital missions that it needs to carry out. So in fact, I would be a strong advocate for increased federal funding for all issues relating to fisheries, given the importance of the fishery industry in Alaska.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Metcalf.
When I was in the legislature, I supported studies for fish and to make sure that we did the best management we were able, and I would continue that support if I were in the U.S. Senate. But I'll speak also to the reasons that the state is not funding, and it has to do, in my opinion, with corruption. And the fact that we are broke is a direct result of legislators taking money from oil companies to give away your oil. And if we had gotten what the rest of the world got for the amount of oil we've sold, our permanent fund would be about five times as big as it is today, so would your dividend, and we would have no problem funding anything we could take. We would have about a $250 billion permanent fund. You could take 5% of that a year for perpetuity and fund all these programs better than they've ever been funded before. That didn't happen because we didn't pay attention to international markets and we didn't pay attention to the corruption that was taking place.
Thank you. Senator Murkowski.
Actually, it's Representative Craig. I'm sorry, Mr. Craig.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Craig.
That's okay, Julie. Thank you. Really, five times?
Five times.
Wow. That's amazing. I don't know how we got here again, but I totally agree the federal government's going to need to step in. We've got to move, in my opinion, to the next level, which is a Alaskan-based fisheries program that embodies best practices that not only encompasses fishing practices, but brings in the R&D, the incubators that will drive in companies that want to use fish-based products for pharmaceuticals, for cosmetics, for other types of fish-based products that would diversify our economy. And that has to happen, and it hasn't happened so far. I don't know why, but that's the next evolution for the fishing industry, and it's time for Alaska to get in front of this instead of trying to catch up. And it gets back to, you know, the bycatch issue. You know, we should be using 100% of our fish for human or human-based consumption. I have a red light.
Thank you very much.
Representative Murkowski, do you want me to repeat the question, or?
If I understood your question, it was, What in the federal budget can we do to help reduce some of the impact that we are seeing with the reduction at ADF&G? And I will give you specifically my priorities because they are reflected in the appropriations bills that we are working through right now. It would be to increase the funding for data collection, surveys, and assessments that we have done. It is to increase funding for the regional councils and the Fisheries Commission. We know that there's more and more work that is being piled on you. It is funding for the salmon management activities. It's funding for the electronic monitoring and reporting, something that we all need to focus on. It's funding for the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund. And Ms. Stock has noted that the concern is that some of this good work is being done outside of our state. I agree with that, and we've actually included language that tells NOAA, directs NOAA, to report to us how much is being spent out there for the work that you're doing when you're traveling back and forth here. So I agree, let's bring that home, but these are important programs that need federal funding.
Thank you.
Thank you all. We now go to the next round, which in which candidates will pose a question to each other. Candidates have 30 seconds to pose a question. The respondent has 60 seconds to reply, and the questioner has 30 seconds for rebuttal. So let me take an example. It's a little confusing, isn't it? But, so we're going to start with Representative Metcalf, and he will have 30 seconds to pose a question, direct it to whoever you want of the people here, and not me, but up there. And then that person will have a minute, 60 seconds to reply, and then you will have 30 seconds for rebuttal. Okay? So we'll begin with you, Representative Metcalf.
I'll ask Lisa a question. Lisa, you've had a lot to do with the privatization of the fishing rights in the federal waters. And I have heard a lot of people here in Kodiak say that, you know, the privatization just needs to end. And what is your anticipation for the future in that regard?
Well, you used the reference in a question earlier that these fisheries are collective, that they are certainly held in the commons, and I think we recognize that, we respect that. Where we need to be with management of our fisheries is that there is a level of access to us as Alaskans, access to those in the industry that can not only harvest the fish, but bring these jobs home to us. When you suggest that somehow or other I have led in the privatization of our state's fisheries, I think that defies what we actually have in place through the structure of the North Pacific Fisheries Council, which I am a strong proponent of the council itself making these determinations in terms of management of our fisheries. This is not something that should be congressionally directed.
Okay.
This is the ground-up, science-based, data-driven decisions that should come out of the council.
Should I happen to be your new senator, I will do my best to bring the dollars back home, to bring the jobs back home, to make sure that crews are well paid, to make sure that people who live near the resource are the people who harvest the resource and people who profit from the resource. It won't go to outside national corporations. And so I think my approach would be much more beneficial to Kodiak than the existing approach.
Thank you. Trevor has just explained the rules to me more carefully. And in this case, Mr. Metcalf, we would allow you an opportunity to ask a question of the other two candidates as well, if you would care to.
Okay. Margaret, I have a question for you. At the entrance to West Point, there's a plaque, and it says, I will not lie, cheat, or steal, nor will I tolerate anyone who does. A few weeks ago, I took you on a trip around Anchorage, and I showed you a building that the owner of which had given a percent of that building to Mark Begich, and I showed you the buildings that Mark Begich had arranged for an exemption, tax exemption on.
And come to your question, please.
How do you comport that with your obligation to not tolerate someone who lies, cheats, or steals?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure how it relates to the fisheries in Kodiak or Alaska, but I will try to address it. I'm very pleased to let everybody know that Mark Begich has, in fact, endorsed my campaign. I don't know the specifics about the real estate transaction to which Ray alludes, but I will note that as apparently there's no court case or conviction or anything of any sort involved in it. So it's an interesting story, a fish story.
Do I have a rebuttal?
Yes, absolutely.
I provided Margaret with all the documentation. There was an investigative reporter who verified everything I just said. Mr. Begich was taking rents from a gift that he received from one John Rabini. He gave John Rabini a tax break on about $1 billion worth of property, which results in him not paying about $16 million a year to the city of Anchorage. I mean, I don't know what you call that, but I know what I call it. And if Mark Begich were to have offered me his endorsement, I'd have declined. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Metcalf. Just I urge all of you to try to contain your comments to fish, please, if you would. Fisheries and the fishing industry. Mr. Craig, if you would. No, have you?
Have I what?
Have you asked all three candidates yet? No, you haven't.
No,
if you
I'll
haven't,
pass. I'll pass.
Okay.
Mr. Craig. Definitely was not a fisheries question.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll give you a pass on that, but no more. All right, so we'll go on then to Mr. Craig, and if you would direct question to
Senator Murkowski. Where is the federal funding targeting Alaskan-based incubators, enterprises that do R&D, medical products, focus on Alaska fish-based cosmetics, marine supplements, things like that? Where is that?
Well, you know, we have an amazing feature within the Department of Energy called ARPA-E that does exactly what you're talking about with the incubators. I've actually been talking with folks about that kind of an incubator for innovation within our fisheries. We're seeing some fabulous things coming out of the industry, though, whether it is the, you know, the cod dog treats that BBEDC has just put out, or whether it's the fish protein that not only will benefit us in this country but in third world countries. You mentioned cosmetic products. What we're looking at is the potential for algae-based products that can really be innovative in whether it is cosmetics or whether it is pharmaceuticals. We know we have the opportunity here through our fisheries. How we harness it into that next best idea is our big challenge.
Thank you. And a rebuttal, if you care?
I think that's good news. I know in Iceland they've been doing that now for about 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how we got so far behind, but we need to catch up.
Thank you, Mr. Craig. Further questions?
No, I'm good.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's move on to Senator Murkowski. If you would direct a question again, pose a question, 30 seconds, 60-second reply, and a 30-second rebuttal.
Sure. I'm going to pose this to Ray here. There's been a lot of discussion at the federal level now about the prospect of a designation by the president that would designate a marine monument. We've also had a discussion and saw just last year a potential for a marine sanctuary. Do you support either of these processes, either a marine sanctuary or a marine monument through the Antiquities Act?
In the Alaska land settlement, there was a no more clause, and I think that no more clause should be adhered to.
Well, I kind of like the support of ANILCA. We've been working to make sure that not only will we not see monuments on land, but also monuments offshore without the specific approval of your congressional delegation as well as gubernatorial support. There is a process with marine sanctuary that you don't have, though, with a marine monument that the president could advance through executive order. So two different processes, both, in my view, are a little bit concerning, but at least a marine sanctuary has a process that that marine monument would not.
Thank you, Senator. Other questions you care to pose to other candidates?
I'll ask one to Margaret, since she's not had an opportunity here. Margaret, you're originally from New England. Your part of the country has had a long and storied history of commercial fishing. How would you compare the performance of the New England Fisheries Management Council to what we have here with the North Pacific Fisheries Council?
I think we have a better performing council up here. I think the North Pacific Fisheries Council, Management Council, has been doing a terrific job over the years, much better than other parts of the country have done. I think other parts of the country have learned from us. I have been in Alaska for 30 years, so I'm a little bit far removed from the New England fishing industry, although I did, as a teenager, troubled teenager, I won a scholarship to crew on a topsail sloop one summer, the USS Providence. So I did have a little familiarity with the fishing industry because we were, you know, forced to hang out on yardarms and furl sails and so forth while I crewed. But I think Alaska has been a model for the nation in terms of its handling of fisheries, and I'd like to see the good work of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council continue. I know we have two new members who look to be very excellent representatives of Alaskans and the Alaska fishing industry on the council, and I'd like to see their efforts go forward.
Well, I'm glad that we both agree on the strength of the North Pacific Fisheries Council. I think we look at the management that we have, the successes that we have, as you have pointed out. New England currently has 14 groundfish species that are overfished here in the North Pacific under the management that we have. Under the North Pacific Management Council, we have none. We've never set a catch limit above the recommendation of our scientific advisors. I think we know how to do it here, and I think it's a good credit to the men and women who are doing this day in and day out.
Thank you, Senator. And do you have a question of Mr. Craig?
Well, since everybody else has just taken two, I too will defer.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll move on to Colonel Stock. If you would care to pose a question, and we'll get a response, and then you have a chance to give a rebuttal.
Okay, and I get the opportunity to ask three questions of three different...
Yes.
Okay, just checking. Wanted to make sure I understood the rules. Okay, so Breck, I was curious about your opinion of naval exercises in the Gulf of Alaska and their impact on Alaska's fisheries. Do you have an opinion on that topic?
Not really, other than hopefully they're not bombing or conducting fire missions into, you know, our fishing grounds. I think there's a real need to bring the U.S. Navy bases back to Alaska, but that's a different topic, more national security. Other than that, I'm not, you know, unless it's a concern with the fishermen, I haven't talked to anybody that said they were concerned by it, but I can't really speak to it.
Okay, well, I am concerned about it. I think it would be important to make sure that the Navy doesn't do active sonar exercises during the seasons when they're likely to impact fish. I would like to see them stop doing that. And as your United States Senator, I would actively talk to the administration and the Navy about moving back to a time when their exercises can take place, when they're not going to impact the fisheries. And I'm also concerned about the firing of military-type hardware, explosives, and so forth into fishing areas that might also impact the fisheries. And I would be very interested to talk to scientists to make sure that the Navy's not doing anything that would harm Alaska's fisheries with their operations.
Thank you, Colonel. And if you have a question of the other two candidates, you pose
it
now.
Let me talk to Ray next. Ray, what's your view on the current emergency situation with the pink salmon season here in southeast Alaska?
You know, the farming industry has hail insurance, for example, crop failure insurance. And I think that we probably need to think about having an insurance system for crop failures, just like salmon return failures, just like we have crop failures. I think that would be the appropriate way to go forward with those issues.
Could I ask a clarifying question then? Do you not support the declaration of emergency? Are you opposed to that, or?
Oh, the declaration of an emergency? I have not read about the declaration of emergency, so I would have, I would be misleading you if I spoke to it. But yes, we need a system to deal with crop failures and salmon return failures. And so I would say that that dovetails with what you're saying, and that it would be in support of dealing with such issues and not leaving people on their own to deal with it all by themselves.
Thank you, Mr. Metcalf. And give you an opportunity for rebuttal, Colonel.
Well, I'm not sure there's anything to rebut other than I do support the declaration of emergency, but I would like to see the money coming faster to the folks who are impacted by it. I'd also like to see some money go not just to owners of vessels and folks higher up in the chain, but also to the people who are actually crew members, or perhaps even folks working in canneries who are impacted by the emergency situation.
Thank you. I'll give you an opportunity to ask a question also of Senator Murkowski, if you care to.
Yes, I think I should do that, in all fairness. It wouldn't be fair just to ask Breck and Ray and not ask Lisa a question. So, Lisa, Alaska fishermen have been calling for decades for intervention from the International Joint Commission under the Boundary Waters Treaty to address the problem, the serious problem of Canadian-based mines releasing heavy metals and other toxins into the rivers that cross from Canada into Alaska and could destroy the Southeast Alaska fishery. A few months ago, you signed a letter to the Canadians expressing your concern, and last week there was an agreement signed whereby the Canadians will speak more often to Alaskans about our concerns. But neither action has any teeth whatsoever. You've been a senator representing Alaska for about 12 years now. Why have you been unwilling or unable to elevate this issue before the IJC, which is the body specifically created to address such conflicts?
Well, as you know, it's not a direct path to the IJC. You have to go through the State Department. This is something that we have presented not only to the State Department personally, by myself, with Secretary Kerry, but also through multiple letters. But as you point out, sometimes you don't get responses to your letters. As a matter of fact, we actually received a response, the second response now, from the State Department today. They indicated that, yes, in fact, they had received the letter. They have not concurred with the five steps that we outlined in terms of what we want to see, whether or not the IJC is the suitable venue, whether or not they will move forward with other mechanisms. What they did give us, though, which was somewhat assuring, was that in late October here, there will be a sit-down with the Canadians to discuss just exactly this and whether or not IJC, they've actually used that for the first time ever. So we are making headway, but it has been very, very difficult with this State Department that has not believed that this has the requisite urgency to rise to their level of attention.
In the past, other senators have used the threat of the IJC to get action on issues. In 1992, another United States senator, not from Alaska, introduced a bill in Congress to block the Canadian-based Windy Craigie mine that would have threatened the fisheries in Lynn Canal, Icy Straits, and the connected waters in northern southeast Alaska. In 1993, the U.S. government made it clear that it would move to invoke the Boundary Waters Treaty and bring the issue to the IJC. A few months later, the British Columbia government denied permitting for the project in the adjacent Kluane Park, Glacier Bay National Park.
Thank you, Colonel.
And Tatsunshini Aksak Wilderness became the world's largest international wilderness park, protecting the fish in those waters forever.
Thank you. We have a few minutes left before we need to take a break, about 4 minutes. I'd ask our panelists if you have a speed round question you'd care to pose, and we'll begin with Mr. Craig.
Mr. Craig, approximately how many direct jobs are provided by the Alaska seafood industry?
50,000. I don't know.
Okay.
A lot.
Now, does this
let's go around. Let's ask Senator Murkowski now if she has an answer to that question.
The seafood industry in the state of Alaska is the largest private employer in the state. Above oil, above everything else, it is seafood.
And we'll go on to Colonel Stock.
I agree with Senator Murkowski. Tens of thousands of jobs.
It's not fair.
Representative Metcalf.
I gave it.
Well, we'd have to call the state and find out the exact number today. Well, there's also
that
a lot
was
of
the question,
jobs.
Right?
Yes.
You know, I don't want to mislead you that I'm a expert on oil and the economics of oil, not fish. And so since I've had the help of a couple of other people answering this before me, I did know that there was the largest single employer in the state of Alaska.
Me too.
I couldn't have told you how many.
Okay. I'll give you the answer. You're right. The Alaska seafood industry is the largest single employer in the state of Alaska, and there are approximately 60,000 direct jobs that are provided by the Alaska Seafood Industry.
We're close.
You said 50? Yeah. Yeah, there.
The dog has his day.
So the next question, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, I think we start with Ms. Stock, is that right?
That's right.
What is your favorite Alaska seafood, and how do you like it prepared?
Actually, it's rockfish. Because I'm a kayaker, ocean kayaker, and I ate a lot of rockfish on my honeymoon, so it has very warm memories for me. I kayaked from Cordova to Whittier with my new husband. We got to know each other very well, and we caught a lot of rockfish on the way from Cordova to Whittier, and we prepared it every night pretty much in a frying pan with a little butter. It tastes really good that way when it's caught fresh.
So just for future lightning rounds, we're hoping people can restrict their answers to 10 words or less. So the next question goes to Representative Metcalf. Same question. What is your favorite Alaska seafood, and how do you like it prepared?
Alaska crab, and I like it prepared very quickly.
Mr. Craig.
I'm a salmon man, and my wife barbecues it.
Senator Murkowski.
I am halibut and salmon any way that it's prepared, and I probably have it 5 times a week. Wow. Never get tired
That's
of it.
That's two fish, not fair.
Yeah, two fish.
Okay, thank you very much. That concludes our first hour, and let's have a round of applause for our candidates, if you would. We will now take a 10-minute break, and then during this time, Stephanie Mangini will be roaming around. Where is Stephanie? Anyway, there she is back there. She'll be roaming around asking you how the audience felt about how things went, and the second part of the Fishers debate will begin in about 10 minutes.